Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We would like to welcome you to Time to Talk About It, where our host was none other than Apostle Gloria Porter Cheever. And as you all know, that she is no longer here with us. She had gone on to the Lord. But we will continue to carry on this broadcast in her honor and continue for the word to come forth. My name is Sister Diane, and I will be your host today. And you know, of all time, we always begin our broadcast with none other than prayer. Hallelujah, and none of that will change. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We bless your name, Lord. We magnify your name. Lord, you're King of Kings and Lords of Lords, and there is no other God but you. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, our Creator. And we say thank you. Father, knowing, O God, that the safest place in this time, O God, is to be in you. Now, Heavenly Father, as we come before you, O God, we ask you for forgiveness, Lord, in those that we're praying for, forgiveness of all sin that we have committed against you in thought, deeds, actions, knowingly and unknowingly, Father, grieving the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we ask for your forgiveness. And Father, as you are just to forgive us, we forgive those that trespass against us. Heavenly Father, as I lay my hand upon this prayer list, O Lord, Father, you know each and every person name by name, Lord Father. And Father, we're thanking you right now, Lord Father. Father, for some ask for prayer for themselves, Lord Father. Some ask for prayer for others, Lord Father. Father, as we touch and agree with them, Lord Father, we're thanking you right now for your will being done in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Yvonne Jowers right now, Lord Father. We ask you, O God, to touch her spine right now, and we say spine, line up with the word of God right now in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we come against depression, oppression right now, Lord Father, that is coming over her, Lord Father. We cancel the assignment of the enemy right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. And when we say no weapons that is formed against us shall prosper, Lord Father, we ask you, O God, to let your angels stand guard round about her, Lord Father, round about her mind right now as we continue to speak healing to her body right now in the name of Jesus, Lord Father. We know that you can do it because nothing is too hard for you, O God. Father, we hold before you Rudy right now, Lord Father, as we continue, Lord Father, to speak healing to his body right now, Lord Father. We thanking you right now, O God, that he is able, O God, to walk Father and Father every day, Father, without using oxygen right now, Lord. Father, we thank you for opening up his lungs right now, Lord. We thank you for the strength, O God, that he needs, Lord, Father, continually in you as he continues to recover right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, Father. We hold before you Spurgeon Walters right now, Lord. Father, we hold before you TJ right now, O God. Father, touch right now in a mighty and a special way, Lord. We hold before you Yamalette right now, Lord, Father. Father, we call their names right now, Lord, Father, for they have
some form of cancer, Lord. And Father, we know that you're bigger than cancer, Lord. Touch those that are about to go, Lord, Father, have surgery right now to have it removed, Lord. Father, touch those right now, oh God, that are going through chemo right now, Lord. Father, we know sometimes the chemo make them sick, but Father, we speak strength and healing to them, Lord. Father, as they continue, Lord, Father, to look to you, oh God, for their healing, Lord. And Father, as we all touch and agree with them, Lord, Father, we're thanking you, oh God, for your will being done in the name of Jesus. Father, we hold before you Kay right now, Lord, Father, as we pray right now for her salvation, Lord, Father, and for her to return home right now, Lord, Father, letting her know that she is loved, Lord, and she is covered under the blood right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, we hold before you Maxwell right now, Lord, Father, and we ask right now for favor right now, Lord. Favor with the decision makers right now in the name of Jesus. Intervene on his behalf right now, Lord Father. We know that you can do it, Lord Father. We know that you can do it, Lord. Father, we're thanking you, we're praising you, and we're glorifying you right now in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Bobby right now, Lord Father, that has throat cancer, Lord Father. Touch him right now, Lord Father. Strengthen him right now as he called upon your name, Lord Father. And Father, you say you are the God that healeth thee, Lord Father. So we're touching and agreeing, Lord Father, Father, that you touch his body right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, there was prayer going forth, Lord Father, for the schools in the Virgin Islands, Lord Father. But Father, today we're not just praying for the schools in the Virgin Islands, Lord. But Father, we are praying for the school in the nations, Lord Father. Father, we come against bullying right now, trafficking right now, child molesters right now in the name of Jesus, gun violence right now, Lord Father. We come against it right now in the name of Jesus. Father, as we continue, Lord Father, Father, to look to you, Lord, to shield and protect our children and our grandchildren, Lord Father, when they are not in our presence. Father, as we continue to teach them to call upon your name, and Father, we're calling upon the parents right now, Lord Father. Father, to teach their children to call upon your name, covering them under the blood, letting them know that the blood covers right now, that the blood shields and protects them right now, that the blood covers them from danger right now, Lord Father. In the name of Jesus, if they believe right now, Lord Father, we know, Lord Father God, that you shed your blood, Lord Father, for us, Lord. And Father, we take it not for granted, Lord Father. Father, we know that there is healing in the blood, Lord Father. And Father, we know that the final say in everything, oh God, Father, comes from you, but not man, Lord Father. And we ever so thank you, O God, for not being like man, though you created man, Lord Father. We thanking you and glorifying you, O God. Father, we thanking you even for this radio broadcast, Lord Father. Father, how it was birthed right now, Lord Father. We thank you and glorifying you, Lord Father, that it will continue to go on, Lord Father, in the honor, Lord Father, of our apostle, Lord Father. We will continue, Lord Father, to have the word coming forth from your man and woman and God right now in the name of Jesus, Lord Father. We will settle for nothing less, Lord Father. Father, we're thanking you right now for the very speaker of the hour, Lord Father. And we ask you, oh God, to decrease him, Lord Father, as you increase in him and he let go and let you have your perfect way, Lord Father. We are thanking you right now, Lord Father, for our listeners right now, Lord. Father, give them the ears to hear and the heart to receive the word as it comes forth, Lord Father. Father, and we cancel the assignment of the enemy right now, Lord Father. for this broadcast is covered under the blood. We cancel every and any assignment that was sent towards this broadcast to try and hinder, Lord Father, the speaker or the listeners right now, Lord Father, and we render it null and void right now in the name of Jesus. This radio broadcast and everyone that comes on this broadcast is blood covered today, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord Father. Oh, Father, we're giving you the honor, we're giving you the glory, and we're giving you the praise, Lord. For we thank you for healing and deliverance being on this broadcast today, Lord, as it continues to go out through the airways, Lord, Father God. However means that they are listening, Lord, Father. We thank you, Lord, Father, for healing and touching them right now, Lord. Unstop those deaf ears right now, Lord, Father, and break up that stony heart right now that they're able to hear and receive. And, Father, let them not be ashamed, oh, God, to press that one button right now, Lord. Father, what do they need in prayer right now, oh, God? Father, some may want to accept you as their Lord and Savior, Lord, Father. Father, some may have a praise report, Lord, Father. Let them not be ashamed, Lord, Father. For, Father, we know that it's not just us, Lord, Father, that is praying, Lord, Father. All those that have the heart and the mind to pray and listen to the broadcast, whether now or a later date, is continually praying for them, Lord, Father. So, Father, I thank you and I glorify you right now, Lord, Father, for just showing up and showing out right now. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place. Holy Spirit, take control right now. Holy Spirit, have your way right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Again, we'd like to welcome you each and every Wednesday and Thursday to Time to Talk About It. And yes, we know normally we would have an encouraging word for you, and we will get better at it. But at this time, I'm going to give way to the speaker of the hour. And as he comes forth and you have a question on anything that he is saying, you might want to find out some more, you know, of what he is saying, please do not hesitate to press that one button. The last time he came on, it was nobody mad but the devil, because no one could have called in on the broadcast that day, and we was just trying everything that we can. So you know what? Prepare your hearts, prepare your mind for this awesome man of God that is coming forth, Elder Carl Bolden, and just give him your listening ear today. Amen. Now, Elder Bolden, the floor is all yours.
Amen. Amen. I thank the Lord, amen, for you this morning, Sister Diane, being on your post. Amen. It is time.
Amen.
It is time for us to be on our post as believers in Christ Jesus. You know why? Because the days are short. Yes, it is. And it's in the Word of God.
Yes.
I heard Sister Diane say they normally give a word of encouragement. Well, I'm going to go ahead and give you that word of encouragement today, because the Bible says be also always ready. So I try to keep myself in a ready posture to be used by God. So listen to this real quick. Matthew, the 24th chapter, verse 22, it says, unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days would be shortened. Time is flying. It is, today is February the 23rd in 2022. So time is moving on. So we have to be on our post to do what God has chosen us to do. Am I right about it? So I'm just thankful for that today. I am thankful because God is a God of promise. God is faithful, and he shall never let us down, and I'm glad about it. All right. So I thank the Lord for that today. We're going to talk about the word today. We're going to get into this word today. And I want to talk to you from the standpoint of it don't have to be like this, not like this, not like this. I want you to let that resonate in your hearts for a moment, because the last 2 years have been, wow, perilous, as Paul said, in the last days we're living in perilous times. And that day has been here, and it's going to become more perilous as we head toward the tribulation period and the return of our Savior, Christ Jesus. But guess what? You don't have to settle for your life being like this, because your life has been purchased. And I want you to catch this nugget before I start getting into this lesson. I want you to catch this nugget, because I love my prayer life with God. I try to talk to God all day through a continual prayer. I'll get into that later. But I try to stay into a continual contact with God throughout today, of any given day, so that I can hear his voice. But we must understand that because Jesus purchased our lives, we need to remind him that he purchased our lives. And I want you to catch this, because when we remind him that he purchased our lives, we're telling him that we're putting faith in what you purchased. Oh, my goodness. Have you ever been to the grocery store and purchased something? When you picked that thing up that you wanted, you purchased it, and you know that you wanted it, and you went to the line and paid for it, and you knew that it was yours. So since our lives have been purchased through the blood of Jesus, because the Bible says that our lives have been purchased with a cost, and that cost is the blood of Jesus. So every day may not be a flower bed of weeds, but it don't have to be like this. But that's what I want to talk about this morning. And we're going to look at two scriptures. I may not get to both of them, but I know I'm going to start with the first one. Turn your Bibles to Psalms, the 34th chapter, verse 18 from the New International Version of the Bible. Psalms 34 and 18, and it reads like this. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Huh? Have you been crushed in your spirit over the last 2.5 years? That's a question to be asked. Or do you know anyone who has been crushed in spirit over the last 2 years? Think about that. The second scripture is Isaiah, the 61st chapter, verse 1, from the same edition of the Bible, the New International Version, and it reads as thus. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners. I want you to highlight that. And release from darkness. God wants us released from darkness, and he wants us to be released from being a prisoner in anything that holds us prisoner, catch this, outside of the will of God. Outside of the will of God. And what is the will of God? The will of God is his word, my brothers and sisters. You know, over my years of being saved, I've heard people say that inaccurately for many years when they talk about the will of God. Genesis to Revelation is the will of God for your life. So it behooves us to do what Paul told Timothy to do, to study to show yourselves approved. Why? Because when we study, we show God that we want his approval and stamp on our lives to open our hearts to his word. Just want to give you that nugget today. So the thought today is, it don't have to be like this, not like this. The common denominator in life is your heart. Your heart is present in everything you do. It's in any relationship that you partake in. If you're not for it, or if you're not with it at all your heart has to be in something. Your heart determines the flow, the course you will take. Look at Proverbs, the 4th chapter. Verse 23 from the New Living Translation Bible. It says, guard your heart above all else. So we're responsible for guarding our hearts. And the Bible here is talking about your heart and your soul. And when you see that, I want you to think of it this way. My mind, my will, my intellect, and my emotions. But the rest of the scripture says, for it determines the course of your life. The condition of your heart determines the quality of your life. So So the psalmist said, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, but he is able to heal the brokenhearted. It's important that I say that again. The condition of your heart determines the quality of your life, because out of your heart flows the issues of life. So there it is, your soul, your mind, your will, your intellect, and your emotions. That's what the issues of life flow from, and whatever is there will flow from you in any circumstance, and we're going to talk about that today. So the psalmist said in Psalm 34 and 18 that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. But not only is he close to the brokenhearted, he heals them as well. So your heart is the issue. Proverbs 27 and 19 from the New International Version of the Bible says, as water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart. There it is again. So your life is going to be reflected from what flows through your mind, your will, your intellect, and your emotions. So the understanding here in Proverbs is that your life reflects your heart. As it is with your heart, so it is with your life. Whatever your heart is filled with, it will reflect it. So the condition of my heart reflects the quality of my life. Therefore, we have to pay attention to the condition of our heart, because over the past 2 years, our hearts have been challenged in ways we never thought possible. We've gone through so many ups and downs, and it has left many feeling angry, feeling disconnected, and feeling alone. And I want you to catch this here. And statistics show a rise in divorce, a rise in domestic violence, and a rise in many other things. But all of these things reflects one thing, the issues of the heart, my mind, my will, my intellect, and my emotions. Because during this pandemic, we have been challenged like we have never been challenged before. We have lost loved ones that we never thought would leave here. So we have been challenged, and our emotions have been pulled on like never before. So the negativity of the last 2 years have affected many, and the negativity of it all has a way of affecting our hearts, which affects our relationship. So I want to begin talking about the signs of an emotional healthy person and what they reflect. Because guess what? So many people are so bogged under from what has taken place over the last 2 years, they barely remember life before the pandemic. So the pandemic has enveloped people's lives, has grabbed a hold of people's minds, wills, and intellects. And God is saying, it don't have to be like this. So emotional healthy people, let's look at these things that emotional healthy people reflect. Number one, they embrace their identity and they like who they are. I like that one. I like that one because when you are emotionally healthy, you like you. Am I right about it? You like being with you. And if you don't like being with yourself right now, then you are headed for an emotional unstable state of mind. And can I add this one to you? Can you get your laugh on by yourself? Because remember, Ecclesiastes says, there's a time for everything under the heavens. And laughter is one of those things that Solomon talked about. Can you get your laugh on by yourself and with yourself? Because you saw something funny. So emotionally healthy people embrace their identity and they like who they are. Number two, emotionally healthy people, they can freely give and receive in a relationship. You got to have both of these. You can't just be a taker, but you must also be a giver in a relationship. And you're open enough to be able to receive. How? They are not overwhelmed if a person does not accept them because their identity is being secured. Am I right about it? How? That's something to think about. That's something for us to grab, that in understanding that it don't have to be like this, that leads us into what we are looking at. Am I right about it? That when we examine what's going on around us, we have to understand that our vision must be clear. Our vision must be clear. So I want to switch gears with that. I want to switch gears with that. So I want you to hold that thought, that it don't have to be like this. But I also want to switch and now move into talking about vision. Vision, vision, vision. Vision is important. It's important that we see what God desires for us to see right now so that we can bring ourselves out of it don't have to be like this. So let me add vision to this. Turn with me to Mark the 8th chapter, verses 23 to 25 from the New Living Translation. It reads as thus. Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. Then spitting on the man's eye, he laid his hands on him and asked, "Can you see anything now?" Verse 24. The man looked around. "Yes," he said, "I see people, but I can't see them very clearly. They look like trees walking around." Verse 25. Then Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again, and his eyes were open. His sight was completely restored, and he could see everything clearly. So that tells me he needed a second touch. Am I right about it? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come now thanking you for this opportunity. This opportunity, Master, to understand that things don't have to be like this. And in order for the things to not be like this, we must have clear vision into what your word says for our lives. I pray right now, Master, for all those that may be listening this morning. I pray, oh Lord, that you give them a second touch right now, just as this man needed a second touch. Throughout our lives, Lord, throughout our saved, delivered lives as it pertains to salvation, we need a touch from you over and over again. And I pray right now, Master, that you cause your people to grab vision in the way that you desire for us to see it through your word today. In Jesus' holy name, amen. So we need vision. We were created with it. And yes, there are some who do not have it. But rest to be assured, they have had to compensate for it, because without vision, without being able to see in some form of manner, it will be difficult to navigate in this life. Am I right about it? So listen to this quote about vision. The only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision. Ah, there it is. But let's not forget that we also need spiritual vision as well, because man was created to live in both realms, the spiritual and the natural. So in our text from Mark, Jesus is dealing with a man's blindness. And after spitting on the man's eyes and laying his hands on him, Jesus then asks the question, "Can you see anything now?" Ah. But before I unpack that any further, let's take a look at what's happening. As I mentioned before, that this pandemic has challenged us in ways that we've never heard before. Throughout the world, this pandemic has challenged people. And one of the facts that have emerged from this pandemic is that we must begin to rethink church in a new way, because the paradigm has shifted. Church as we knew it has and is changing. Many are still watching church from home on social media platforms like Facebook and YouTube. And we thank God for churches who are still able to connect people in that way. But because of the shift, some churches have been reduced, and even to the fact that some church doors have closed. So church looks and is different now. Many pastors across the country have been meeting and gathering together to talk about what does the new church look like? What does the new church look like going forward from the pandemic? Because we must entertain it. Perhaps the new is going back to the old, that the way forward is actually a return to the old, to go back to the way Jesus wants the church to look like, the way Jesus sees the church. Therefore, vision. And perhaps we need to reevaluate where we are as a church and people. Ah. And to go back to what Jesus said about the church, his church. Because maybe we have made church into what we wanted it to be prior to the pandemic. And I want to tell you, God was displeased with that. that maybe over the years we have lost sight of the vision that Jesus has for his church. And somehow we've instituted our vision for the church. Stay with me here. But perhaps in the midst of this crisis, I'm catching this here, because in the midst of this crisis, the pandemic has caused us to face crisis in new ways. The crisis of losing loved ones, the crisis of losing jobs, the crisis of losing homes. And now Jesus is saying, I need my church, my chosen people, to come out of what we have been doing in church and get back to what I'm doing for my church, the one that I shed my blood for. Are you with me? So it's a challenge to all pastors and leaders of the church to reevaluate your vision, to get back to what Jesus says about the church, to adjust the vision of the church and realign it with the vision that Jesus sees for his church. In other words, the pandemic has forced us to pause and ask the Lord, what does the new look like in the church going forward? Let's look at Matthew the 16th chapter. Matthew the 16th chapter, verses 16 through 19 from the New Living Translation Bible. It reads as thus. Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. Vision. Spiritual vision coming into our physical realm. So Jesus went on to say, you did not learn this from any human being. Verse 18. I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock I will build my church. And the powers of hell or the gates of hell will not conquer it. Number 19. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. So Jesus here is making some powerful statements about the church. And there it is. The answer as to how Jesus sees his church and who it belongs to. So three things that Jesus points to in this passage. One, Jesus makes it a fact that the church belongs to him. Jesus said, I will build my church, not your church. Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. So say this with me. The church belongs to Jesus. Yes, I know you have a pastor. The pastor is the under-shepherd. But Jesus Christ shedded his blood for the church. So the church belongs to Jesus. Yes, we are co-leaders in the church. But at the end of the day, the church belongs to Jesus. So he can do with the church whatever he wants to. Number two. Jesus is building his church. Jesus is a builder, and he is building his church. He is still building his church, and catch this here, even through the pandemic. Yes, the landscape has changed, but Jesus is still building his church, even in the midst of disruption, even in the midst of the uncertainty over the last 2 years. Jesus is still building his church. This pandemic did not catch Jesus by surprise. So I'm grateful that Jesus is still building his church. And I don't want you to miss this nugget, because Jesus is not building a building called the church. He is building his people called the church, so that we can come to a building designated for us to have church, to be in a fellowship with one another. So in the midst of it all, Jesus still wants to build you and me. And in order for us to be continually built, we need Jesus' vision for his church. So Jesus says, the church is mine, and I am the one who's building it. And further, he says, my church is still victorious. He says so in the word. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. But I found, leading up to the pandemic and even into the pandemic, that people still get shook up because hell comes up into the church. Well, guess what? I want us to understand that we are in a fight and the enemy is going to challenge. Look at the things that have happened to the church that we never thought would happen. Just 3 or 4 short years ago, somebody walked up into the Jewish synagogue in Philadelphia and started killing people. Just 3 or 4 years ago, some young man down in Carolina walked into a Bible study and started killing people. So the devil is going to come up into the church. But Jesus said it will not prevail against it. But we must prepare ourselves for the fight. Throughout time, many have said that the church ain't this and the church ain't that. You've heard it. Many have tried to run the church down. But can I tell you something? The people in the church are imperfect because we are imperfect beings. So if you're looking for a perfect church, you're not going to find it. If you're in the church is imperfect because you are there, because you are an imperfect being. And that's why we will always need Jesus, because Jesus knows us better than we know ourselves. But Jesus will not allow our faults and imperfections to stop his church from being victorious. So the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. So here it is. Sometimes the way forward is to sometimes go back. Sometimes what is to be new is to sometimes recover what is old. Let me unpack that, because I'm going to work on that for a moment so that we can grab the concept of it. Because I feel like that as we navigate going forward, we got to go back and recapture what Jesus says about the church. Because sometimes life can get us off track from what Jesus has said. And over the last 2 years, this pandemic has gotten a lot of things off track. But it's okay. Why? Because Jesus did not get catched off guard or surprised by this pandemic. Are you with me? So I want to share two quick things with you. Jesus gave the church his values and his vision. Let's turn to Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verses 34 through 40 from the New Living Translation. So keep that in mind. Jesus gives the church his values and his vision. Verse 34. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees with his reply, they met together to question him again. So didn't I say that hell would come up in the church? Here the Pharisees wanted to challenge Jesus, or should I say the Sadducees, because he shut them down. But yet they still wanted to challenge Jesus again. So hell won't come up in the church. But let's see what Jesus replied. Verse 35. One of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with a question. I like that. I want to holler on that for a second. An expert in religious law. Are you kidding me? An expert in religious law. So this man thought that he knew more about the scripture than anybody else. Just want to park there for a minute and throw that nugget at you. Verse 36. Teacher, which is the most important commandment of the law of Moses? Jesus replied in verse 37. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. I want you to highlight all, because Jesus said it three times. This is the first and greatest commandment. Verse 39. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 40. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. Here it is. Jesus has given us his values. This is important. Because if we're going to be successful in all that God has called us to do as it pertains to his church, we are going to have his values. So let's look at the first part of it. Number one, Jesus wants us to be all in. Notice that Jesus said with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. Three times, Jesus said with all. And I don't want you to stumble past that, because Jesus wants us all in. Can I lean into that for a moment? Because it's important, especially now, that we be all in. No, I'm not talking about parking yourself on the church step door 24 hours a day. No, but I'm talking about being in fellowship with Jesus more now than ever before. I'm going to challenge you to be all in for Jesus the way he designed you to be all in. I want you to catch that. Not like somebody else, but your all in is your all in. Because we are all different. So your all in may not be my all in. But all in from you means all in from you. And I want you to catch this here, because Jesus knows what your all in is. So don't be worried about somebody else's all in, but be concerned about your all in. Christianity shouldn't be something that you do on the side. No. Christianity is a way of living. There it is. There it is. All in, all the time. Because if you live it all the time, and catch this here, because I'm talking about going around, not going around with an attitude of a holier than thou. No, I'm talking about being available for God to use you whenever he needs to use you, when you are around others being involved in life. I want to give you this nugget. The Bible is about life. Yes, we go to the building called the church, but God is more concerned what you do when you leave that place called the church. Because the first point of thing that we need to understand about going to the building is we need to get ourselves back to worshiping God the way he desires to be worshiped. That's a thought for another time. But it's in the scripture. John wrote it. He said, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So God wants us to get back to worshiping him first. So God doesn't want your faith to be something that you compartmentalize just for church on Sunday. That's a part-time faith. But Jesus said you're all three times. So let's make 2022 to be the year of you being all in with Jesus. Because Jesus wants us to be all in. And that all in means commitment. That means you ain't holding nothing back. That means sacrifice. That means faithfulness. I don't have time to unpack that further. But all in means all in. But I'm going to park here for a minute and say this to you, Sister Diane. Diane, the Lord is elevating your soul in ways you never thought possible. And you know why he's pulling on you like he's pulling on you? Because you are all in. So I encourage you, Sister Diane, to stay all in. Because God wants to pour a hidden treasure out of you. That's what Paul wrote in Corinthians. There's a hidden treasure inside of you, Sister Diane, that God wants to pour out of you. I know it may seem tough right now because Apostle Porter has gone on to be with the Lord, but that's why it's important for us to get a second touch like Jesus touched the man twice about his eyes. We need to get clear vision now like never before. So God is pulling on you, sister. So let him continue to pull on you, and you'll be thankful at what he is hidden inside of you.
Amen. So I receive, Elder
Boyle. Amen. So part of the value that Jesus has given us here is that we've got to embrace the idea of being all in as we continue to go through 2022, because this crisis has challenged many with their commitment to God. Because what we tend to do in a crisis is we want to do what is convenient and comfortable. We want everything to be the same. But during tests, trials, crises, and difficulties, it really does comes to the front and center whether or not you are still all in. In other words, faith is something you continue to do in a crisis. And some have not continued to walk in their faith during this crisis. Are you with me? So Jesus wants us all in. Now notice how Jesus wants us all in. I like this. With all your heart, with all your emotions, your soul, which is your mind, your will, your intellect, and your emotions. Didn't I say that earlier? He wants you all in with all of your strength. That's from your physical body. So Jesus wants us all in, and that's a good place to make that declaration to Jesus. I'm all in with you for 2022. So the second value, number two, that you love the Lord or that you love your neighbor as yourself. You got to love me just like I love you. I know that's a funny term, but it's a hard thing to accept and even a harder thing to do. And what that means is Jesus wants us to be all in outside of the church doors. As to how we treat others. And not just inside it. I'm going to let that sink in for a moment, because God is watching what we do when we leave that place called the church. Didn't John say, let us not love in word only, but in deed and in truth? So not only do we have to embrace his values, but we have to embrace his vision. Ah, here it is. So let's go back to the word and recapture the vision that Jesus has for his church. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20 from the New Living Translation. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Did you catch that? This authority denotes that the church not only belongs to Jesus, but the church is also under his authority. My. Verse 19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. Vision, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, teach these new disciples to obey all the commandments I've given you. And be sure of this, I am always with you, even until the end of the age. This is Jesus' vision for the church. And notice the scope of the vision. It's global. Jesus said, go. So the challenge now in this new pandemic shift is, how are we going to evangelize and reach people? Because people are still in a state of being afraid. Am I right about it? And rightfully so. Why? Because COVID is still out there. And the other variant is making even more havoc. So we've got to readjust how we evangelize. But the goal has not changed. People aren't coming to the church like they used to, and some can't, and some are still afraid to come. So we must figure out a new way to meet people and evangelize. Many have reduced Christianity down to themselves, to their local church. But Jesus instructions to his disciples is to go into all nations, global. And catch this here. Global means all people and all nationalities. Teaching them. And don't get this twisted here, because Jesus is including everybody. So when you run into folks that don't want to include people for whatever reason, that's not of God. But people hide behind it, that they want to believe that they are Christians, but they don't want to include everybody. But God is an exclusive God, and he made that available through Jesus. So God wants everybody included. So the church is God's strategy for the world. So many times we look to other institutions for the world, but God's strategy for the world is his people called the church, the people he calls the church. We, the church, need to remind ourselves that we are the answer to the world. Jesus has ordained us for this mission, this great worldwide commission. In other words, we've got what the world is looking for. So the answer for the world is us, the people called the church. So Jesus gives us his values. Jesus gives us his vision. So we have to recapture this again. And the way we do it is, we have to see as Jesus sees. We've got to see what Jesus sees. Let's look at it in Scripture. Matthew 9 chapter, verses 35 through 38 from the New Living Translation Bible. Reads it thus. Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogue and announcing good news of the kingdom. The good news of the kingdom needs to be announced now, my brothers and sisters. Now, during this pandemic. Now, because people have lost hope. So the scripture goes on and says, and he healed every kind of disease and illness. Isn't that something? Verse 36, when he saw the crowds, highlight that. He had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Over the last 2 years, people have become confused and helpless. And when Jesus saw people, he saw them in this state as being without a sheep, without a shepherd. But look what he did. He saw them and had compassion on them. I'm going to pull on that. Verse 37, he said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. Verse 38, so pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his field. So let's put on this. Catch this here. When he saw the crowds. So Jesus said, I need you to catch what I'm seeing. When he saw the crowd, He saw that the crowd needed compassion because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. I need you to catch this here, because usually two things normally happen when you are in or near a crowd. You see the crowd, and you hear the noise from the crowd. So I need you to catch that the scripture is clearly showing us that Jesus saw the state of the crowd first, and that took some focusing. That took some vision. Because if you've ever gone to a sporting event or to anything that is big, when you arrive there, you hear the noise before you even see the people. And then when you get inside of it, you can be consumed by the noise. So Jesus was not consumed by the noise of the crowd. But Jesus saw their state. So I'm going to dig into what it is to see or saw. It says he saw. The word saw here means to notice, to discern, to perceive. He saw the crowd. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So I want you all to understand who is listening today that one of the Hebrew names for God is El Roi. I love that. You may have even heard me pray it in my prayer because I love it so much. You know why? Because it means the God who sees me, my Lord, my God. So that's what God is. God sees you where you are right now. And he needs us as his believers and his followers to tap into how he sees things right now, because Jesus has the answer to the things that we need to have answered right now, but we must be able to see it correctly first. Another definition says to turn the eye, the mind, or the attention. Grab that. To turn the eyes, the mind, or the attention. See, there's your soul, the mind. So that's why Jesus wants you all in with your mind, your will, your intellect, and your emotions. Because when he pulls us in the right direction, our mind will grab the attention that Jesus desires for us to grab. Another definition of saw means to regard or to cherish. Now, Jesus is seeing all of this through his compassion of the people that he saw. So he saw the crowd. So there it is, vision. As we continue to go through 2022, sometimes we may have to stop and ask God, is my vision all right? Didn't Jesus touch the man twice? So we need to stop and ask God, is my vision all right? Especially now. Especially now. I want to say this to the City of Victory. I want to say this to Pastor George. I want to say this to all the leadership, to the City of Victory. You need to seek God for clear vision now, because the landscape has changed. The paradigm has shifted, and only God knows which way you need to go in. Can I give you this nugget from the Old Testament? When Moses got the people to the promised land, God called Moses up into the mountains and told Moses he was not going to go in. So Joshua had to take the people over, but something happened. God said he told Joshua to tell Israel to mourn Moses for 30 days, and after the end of the 30 days, get up and arise and go over the Jordan. God understands where you are, City of Victory, but you now need to seek him for a new vision in the way that he wants you to go now, because the gospel must continue to go on. It don't feel good. It hurts, because all the people knew was Moses. But they knew Joshua. But they knew Moses as their leader. They remembered Moses through the desert. They remembered the miracles God did through Moses. But he told Joshua, just as I was with Moses, just as I will be with you. So moving on, because as we get older concerning vision, some of us, our vision, our physical vision diminishes. And I know I can say amen to that. Why? Because I need glasses to read now. So that tells me my vision needed an adjustment. My vision needed a realignment so I can see and read clearly. Are you with me? So we need to see the way Jesus sees. When we go about our day, we need to see what Jesus sees in others' lives. and then to have compassion when we see them. Could it be that this generation has lost the ability to see through the eyes of compassion? In other words, we need to begin to see more than just the building called church and be the people called the church. That Greek word ekklesia, the chosen ones, the called out ones. We must begin, as we go forward into the new paradigm, to see what Jesus sees through the eyes of compassion. So Jesus saw the crown. Many have been affected in many ways, unimaginable, since the pandemic began, broken in ways that we never thought possible or could happen. Relationships have been challenged like never before. Homelessness, hunger, the list goes on. People are doing everything they can to do to cope with the fallout from the pandemic. And how would Jesus respond to this? With compassion, because he saw the crowd. As I said, one of the Hebrew names that I love about God is El-Roy, the God who sees me. And God sent Jesus into this world so that the world through him might be saved. But along the way, God was showing us that I'm here inside of Jesus, seeing you through the eyes of Jesus, my Lord, my God. From the rich to the poor, everyone has been affected by the fallout from the pandemic. Many are dealing with mental anxiety, mental despair. Am I right about it? Divorce is on the rise. All these things are fallouts from the pandemic. Listen to this. Over the last 2 weeks, two young people in the prime of their lives, maybe about 3 weeks ago, you heard the story, committed suicide. Actress and producer Regina King's son, 26 years old, committed suicide. You may remember that she would have him escort her down the red carpet when she received a reward at those ceremonies. So if you were to go by what you saw, it gives the indication that everything is going great in this young man's life. They're living the life. They were in the limelight. He was 26 years old, his mother, an A-lister in Hollywood, and you would think that everything was good and perfect in his life. But how many know that things aren't always what they seem? That internally, everything may not be all right. That I can have my game face on, but internally, I'm all messed up. Likewise, we were shocked to hear about Chelsea Chris, the former Miss USA. Wow. This young lady had a law degree. She had an MBA from Wake Forest University. She was a correspondent on Extra. She was in the top 10 for the Miss Universe contest. You would think that she had it all, beauty, brains, and money. And she jumped from a building, 26-story high. My Lord, my God. Things are not always the way they seem. Do we see people the way Jesus sees them? Are you with me? I was intrigued by Chelsea Chris' last post before she committed suicide. Listen to what she said before she committed suicide on her social media platform. She posted this. May this day bring you rest and peace. That definitely was not the internal of her. May this day bring you rest and peace, but you jumped off of a building. And I think that this is the sentiment of many right now. They're just looking for rest and peace in their life. Am I right about it? How many know that life can be a lot, especially right now? How many know that just making it through life sometimes can be overwhelming? And it doesn't have to be because of the pandemic. Some may be being overwhelmed because of loss of a loved one. One so loved that their life affects many other lives over a span of 30 or 40 years. Well, that was me and my father-in-law last year. I'm coming up on 1 year of my father-in-law dying, which will be this April. So I was affected by that. I'm here to tell you that you can be overwhelmed in the moment of what's going on around you, and you can lose sight of what God has for your life. Many are in a state of unrest in their souls, their minds, their wills, their intellects, and their emotions. Many are looking for rest and peace to their souls. So let's look at it. Psalm 19, verse 7 from the New Living Translation. The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. Wow, that's another reason to study, because the instructions of the Lord are perfect. But look what it does. revive the soul. I want you to highlight that. I don't know if Miss Universe reached out for help, but her action indicated that her soul had reached a point of unrest in such a way that she convinced herself that the only way out was suicide, to throw herself off of a building. That's why it's vital to our souls to follow the instructions of the Lord, because in doing so, he will revive our souls. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew, the 11th chapter, verse 28. You know it. It's familiar. Come to me, all who are weary and heavily burdened. Wow, that young lady was heavily burdened. Regina King's son was heavily burdened. But look what Jesus said at the end of it. And I will give you rest. And from the Amplified Bible, it says, refreshing your souls with salvation. Ah, I want to pull on that for a minute. Salvation is not a one-time event, because salvation translated from the Greek means deliverance, continual deliverance. So we always need to be delivered in our lives. And one way that God delivers us is getting our vision back on track for our lives through his word. Ah, there it is, there it is. Because once your soul becomes weary, becomes worn down from the fight of life, it progresses into not just a burden, but a heavy burden. Ah, there it is, there it is. Because once your soul reaches this state of unrest, you will most likely not be able to hear what God has to say concerning your circumstances. Ah, I want to take a minute to talk here for a moment, because people's souls are at a place of unrest. I'm running into it more and more when I'm out and about in everyday life. Let me show you what I mean. I usually go to the library when I need some uninterrupted time to study or to get a word together. And shortly after the new year began, the library closed for a few weeks because of the COVID numbers rising again from the new variant. So when I arrived to the library again a few weeks ago on a Tuesday, the maintenance guy who works here sees me all the time. So he saw me coming up to the sidewalk, because I called to see if the library was open. And he came up to me and said, hey, man, the library just closed again. You didn't see the look on my face. Why? Because I had extended my soul, my mind, my will, my intellect, and my emotions that I needed to get to the library today, that particular day, so I could have some quiet time. So my response was, man, I know people can't be cooped up too much longer at home, because some people come to this library to get relief because of the pandemic. So then he proceeded to tell me, man, I'm just pulling your leg. The library is open. So, of course, a relax came over my face. But at that moment, it had poured on my soul. Are you with me? So this is what he went on to tell me. He then proceeded to tell me that the day before I came, which was the Monday, I was there on a Tuesday, he said two people were in the room where the Xerox machine was trying to get some copies, because you have to pay and wait your turn to get some copies. And they got into a fight over whose turn was next. Did you hear that? They got into a fight at the Xerox machine. Ah, so people's souls are in a state of unrest. And I want you to catch this, that this man said these people got in a fight so bad they had to call the police to come and break them up. So see, people are in an unrest state, and it just took that one little straw that meant nothing, a copier machine. All you had to do was wait your turn, and you would be able to get your copies. But see, it was deeper than that. Their souls were in a state of unrest. Let's move forward. Psalm 116 and verse 7 from the Amplified Bible. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. Highlight that. The psalmist says, return to your rest. So that tells me that God wants our soul at rest. If not, the psalmist would not have written return. So the psalmist landed in Psalm 119 expresses reasons to love the Lord of the soul-crushing burden of grief and sorrow that he was experiencing. Are you with me? But no matter who you are, no matter what your title is, that the fact of the matter is that this pandemic has been universal in how it has changed and caused grief and sorrow in many lives over the last 2 years. Am I right about it? So you're in good company today. who have lamented some during the past 2 years. But the psalmist is also expressing reasons to love the Lord despite and in spite of the soul-crushing burden of grief and sorrow that he has had to experience, because we all have. And if you have not, you know someone who has lost a loved one. But I want to encourage you today that the Lord cares for you and me. Yes, things may not be the way you want them to be, but the fact of the matter is God loves you with an everlasting love. And if you were to be honest about it and look back over your life prior to this pandemic, you can put your hand on something that God has proven himself to you time and time again, that he is with you. So here in Psalm 116:7, the psalmist wrote, "Return to your rest, O my soul. Return to your rest. Return to your rest, O my soul." The psalmist is letting us know that out of all the things that God could have done for him, he is saying, thank you for pointing my soul back in the direction of rest due to the fact that the Lord has dealt bountifully with him. So there it is. There it is. Because God's desire is that our souls be at rest. Your mind, your will, your intellect, your emotions, be at rest in spite of it all. Because I'm going to pull on this for a moment. Because in order for us to be all in for 2022, we must grasp the fact that God wants our souls at rest. So I wanted to grab this message concerning our soul. Because when we think about it, the enemy is really after only one thing when he attacks you, the unrest of your soul, your mind, your will, your intellect, and your emotions. Because it is there that you make the decisions in your life. It is there that once you lose your peace of mind, it is there when the decision-making process becomes a blur. Because all in means all in. The enemy don't want your car. He don't want your house. He don't want your money. He wants your soul to be in an unrest state so he can encourage you to do things outside of the will of God. Ah. Remember Psalm 23? I'm familiar with it. We quote it all the time. So let's examine verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Some renditions may say, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still and quiet waters. Can I tell you something about a sheep? The shepherd knows that his sheep will not drink from waters that are rapids. Ah, there it is. There it is. A sheep will only drink from still waters, waters that are at rest, waters that are still and quiet. Are you with me? And verse 3 points to that fact. He refreshes and restored my soul. So I want to park there for a moment for us to grasp the importance of having your soul restored to the rest of God. So notice what Jesus said about vision in Matthew 9:37. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. In other words, there is not enough of those who see this as I do. Jesus sees the harvest is great and needs compassion. In other words, Lord, give me a heart for the harvest. Ah. To have a heart for the harvest, to have a multitude and an attitude toward the multitude of harvest. Jesus wants us to have a global vision that pertains to the harvest. Yes, we have those who need help hope locally, and we are doing that. But we need also to have the multitude vision towards harvest. Our time is almost out. So I ask the question. What is your local church global vision for harvest? I'm talking about vision. I'm back on vision. We need to see the church as Jesus sees the church. And he sees us as the entity that will go out to the harvest. Ah, the harvest is great right now, my brothers and sisters, because people are in a state of unrest. I believe that the way we can gain the attitude of harvest is to embrace and implement these three things. 1, change lives. 2, empower people. And 3, impact the world. So let me unpack that a little bit. Change lives. Change lives. What does that mean? We want people to experience God. Being connected to others who study the word in small groups, on social media, on Zoom, on YouTube. in small groups via social media. Why? Because we're in the 21st century, and that is one of the main platforms going forward now. As a matter of fact, remember what happened when the pandemic first broke out 2 years ago? Everything closed down. And if your church had not established social media on any of those platforms, their people did not get the word. Number two, empower people. God wants us to empower people. We want people to experience freedom. We want people to have rest to their unrest soul. The things that used to hold you back, we want you free from. The things that are holding you back now, God wants you free from. Salvation means that you are not by yourself. Remember what the word says. There is strength in unity. Being together with other believers helps us to gain strength. So that's why God wants us connected to people. Number three, impact the world. Impact the world. We want to make a difference to the world. Jesus said, go. He told his disciples to go. And if they had not went, we would not be partakers of this gospel here in America. If Paul had not launched out and went to Asia Minor, and from there, this gospel spread it abroad, we would not be in contact with this word. So I want to put on this one last thing. Acts 1 and 8. You know the scripture. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. And I want you to grab it in a new light today. For you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses. How like that? Telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I want you to catch this here. If you don't remember anything else today about vision, I need you to catch this. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he will empower you to be a witness unto him. Because this is the primary reason that God empowers us with the Holy Spirit, to be a witness unto him. I know over the years, many have preached about that power. Yes. One of the signs of having the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues, but there are still more signs. There are signs of love over there that Paul talked about in the book of Galatians. But what I want you to catch here is the first principle of being empowered with the Holy Spirit. His first priority is to empower us to be that witness to Christ Jesus. Stay with me here. Let's examine this further. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verses 4 and 5 from the Amplified Bible. And there are diversities, distinctive varieties of spiritual gifts, special abilities given by the grace, and extraordinary power of the Holy Spirit operating in believers. Sister Diane, I need you to highlight that. God wants to just show you something in that. But it is the same Spirit who grants them and empowers believers. Verse 5, and there are distinctive varieties of ministries and service. Let's skip down to verse 28. So God has appointed and placed in the church for his own use. I want you to highlight that. So God has placed these gifts in the church for his use. Pastors, I need you to grab that. Yes, you're the under-shepherd. But God has placed the gifts in his church that he died for his own use. And then Paul lined it out. First apostles, chosen by Christ. Second prophets, those who foretell the future, those who speak a new message from God to the people. Third, teachers. Then those who work miracles. Then those with gifts of healing and helpers. I like that. Because there it is, the gift of help. Help is in the vineyard because the harvest is great. Vision. Mark 8 and 23 to verse 25, New Living Translation. As I close this out. So they arrived at Bethesda. Some people brought a blind man to Jesus. And they begged him to touch the man and heal him. Verse 23. Jesus took the blind man by the hand, led him out of the village. Then, spitting on the man's eyes, he laid his hands on him and asked, "Can you see anything right now?" Verse 24. The man looked around. "Yes," he said, "I see people, but I can't see them very clearly. They look like trees walking around." Verse 25. Then Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again, and his eyes were open. His sight was completely restored, and he could see everything clearly. Verse 26. Jesus sent him away saying, "Don't go back into the village on your way home." And that's another subject. But verse 25, then Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again. Eyes were open. His sight was completely restored. I need you to highlight that. Because sometimes our sight can get blurry from the things and challenges of life. And we need another church, another touch. And it says his sight was completely restored. And he could see everything clearly. To my bishop, to my spiritual father, Bishop Porter, God going to touch you again. Pastor George, God going to touch you again. Sister Diane, God is going to touch you again, but you must first ask for that touch because he needs to give you complete vision to go forward now. Because the paradigm has shifted. My time is out. But there it is. We need Jesus to touch our eyes because we need to see as Jesus sees. The man needed a second touch because his vision was not clear. He was not seeing clearly. The harvest is great. Many need compassion because Jesus saw the crowd. He had compassion on them. He held them in high regard. City of Victory, God is holding you in high regard because he's El Roi, the God who sees you. He's concerned about you, and he's concerned about the others that will be coming your way now. We need another church, Jesus. We need to reach up. We need to reach in, and we need to reach out. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for our time here together. I thank you for your word, Master, that you saw the man that was brought to you and that you touched his eyes the first time and that when you asked the question what he saw, he didn't see clearly because he saw men and women as trees, but you touched him again and you completely restored his vision so that he could see clearly. We need a second touch, man. We need a second touch now like never before. That we may go forward in what you have commissioned us to be. In this journey, Master, over the last 2 years, we have experienced losses like we never thought we would experience losses. And I pray right now, Master, that you raise up the City of Victory now because the apostle has crossed over. But as you told Joshua, such as I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. Ha! El Roi, El Roi, El Roi, save the City of Victory and all who is connected to them now. Touch their minds, touch their wills, touch their emotions, and touch their intellect with a fresh touch that they may go over this joy to do what you created them to do. Touch the listeners, Master, and in whatever state anyone may be in right now, I pray that they reach up and that they reach in and that they reach out to you for a fresh touch that they may see what you see because you are the God that loved them. Why? Because God so loved the world. How? That he gave his only begotten son that the world through him might be saved, might be delivered salvation. We need another touch. In Jesus' holy name, amen, amen, and amen. Into the hands of Sister Diane.
Amen, amen, amen. Elder Bowen, I thank
you for allowing God to use you today. You definitely encourage my heart today. And for our listeners, if you have a question for Elder Bolin on anything that he said, just go ahead and hit that one button and you can, you know, speak to Elder Bolin. Whatever, maybe the message has touched your heart in some way. Just go ahead and just hit that one and you will be able to talk to him. Elder Bolin, there was so much nuggets that you dropped in there. And I always go back and listen to the message that,
Amen.
You know, that you bring. And I, as you say, Lord, give me a heart for the harvest. Many people, leaders, they need to ask God for the church. Many people thinking the church is the building. The church is us. This is who he is building us.
Amen.
And just to see, your word alone could just draw someone into the kingdom. Letting them to know that God is merciful, God is loving, God is forgiving. He is a God of many chances. He is long-suffering. To encourage someone else's heart, to just tell them, you know what? Jesus loves you. You don't know what kind of day that they're having. And just by even smiling at someone, that smile to them can mean, hey, they notice me. Everybody acts like I'm invisible. That smile alone could show for love. And when you said, can you get your laugh on? Many times I would sit there and I would laugh, Elder Bolin. I would just laugh. And people would look at me like, you know, what is she laughing for? You ever try to control your laugh, like not laugh at all? Have you, like, you want to laugh, but you don't? I tried it. And I couldn't. The more I try to hold it in, the more it's like it's bursting forth. And I love to laugh.
Yeah.
I love to laugh. And just continue to be encouraged, Elder Bolin. Continue to bring forth the word. Continue to allow God to use you. And just know you touch a lot of people's hearts.
Amen.
You touch.
Thank
you
God.
Encourage. And that's what I like about this broadcast. It's not just those that call in that is touching. You have those that listen at a later time. This broadcast
Amen.
Is touching many nations. So know that your word is going forth.
Thank God.
And the hearts that it needs to touch, it is going to touch. The lives that it needs to change, it is going to change. Don't ever stand down, but continue to stand for the word of God. You don't water it down, and you don't add to it. You are blessed to bring forth the word because you allow God to use you. You don't do it yourself.
Thank God.
And I just want to say, for every man and woman of God that comes on this broadcast, we appreciate the word that you all allow God
to use you all and bring forth. Because God do look at your heart. He looks at
Amen.
Your heart. People look at a bum and think that they can't bring forth the word. But God used whoever he wants to use to bring forth the word. He used a very child to bring forth the word. But will we listen to the word as it comes forth? And I just say, I appreciate, enjoy the word. And for those of you that are listening and missed this broadcast from the beginning, you can tune in to Blog Talk Radio, Time to Talk About It. And you can listen to this broadcast again or visit our Facebook page at Logion International Ministries and click on the link. And let me tell you, because I have done it many times, when you click on that link and that broadcast finished, another one will come on and it will continue coming on. This broadcast been on the air from since 2009. So you know there is plenty messages that is going to come forth, that is going to come forth, that is going to touch your heart, that is going to touch your mind, that's going to make you change the way you talk, the way, you know, you carry yourself. Because we always need our word and our actions to be as one. So tune in every Wednesday and Thursday at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, that call-in number is 347-857-3925. That's every Wednesday and Thursday at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So be blessed. See you tomorrow, Thursday at 9 a.m.
Let God, oh, let go. God. My sister, you can't handle it. Let God. Oh, let go.
Let go.
He's the only one with the answer.
Let go.
Just let God.